So I think $20 for me is about, I think, at least half, if not two-thirds of my food budget each week. So it's kind of quite pricey for something to talk to leaders, I think. But that's just my personal view.
Very quickly, in terms of CUPE's outreach programs, we've got tremendous amount of support, I guess, inside of our union for equity issues, where we do reach out through several committees where we reach out to our communities. We've got a Pink Triangle committee, actually, is one of the first in the province in terms of our gay and lesbian and transgender community and bisexual communities. We got Visible Minorities, a Rainbow Committee, where we reach out and make connections in our communities with the Black community, with the Somalian community, with Sri Lankan. We reach out in a major way from that perspective. And we rely upon our coalition partners, whereas we formally endorse OCAP, to be able to reach out for people dealing with poverty issues. We reach them through the coalitions that we form. We form the coalitions with, I mean, CUPE's been big at the coalitions. We've actually made a connection at the bargaining table between our coalition partners and what happens at the bargaining table. We try to bring sort of a social conscience to the bargaining table. We know, for example, that if we're about to move the wages of childcare workers forward, we have to make coalitions and form coalitions with parents to make sure that they are there supporting us when we go to the table to push for our demands, because they know at the end of the day that when you have healthy, happy, well-educated workers, that their children are being well looked after and they're being decently paid. And I can make the same connections with senior citizens and all of our coalitions. We do it with that goal in mind. The university sector, we've actually, we tried to undermine the Harris agenda and their policies around tuition increases by bringing to the table tuition indexation, for example. And when we win that fight on behalf of our members, we're winning that on behalf of society as a whole, because what we're actually doing is undermining his strategy around tuition increases. And that's what we did very, very successfully in many, many funds. So that's kind of what we're engaged in.
If the question of how to involve communities who might normally be excluded was raised in the context of the work here, I think the kind of discussion that took place, for example, around the eviction situation was enormously important, because if you're going to mobilise people, I think they have to have a sense that you're asking them to be mobilised on a basis that counts for something. You know, the reality is that when it comes to something like stopping evictions, preventing the denial of welfare to people and such like, it really is a bridge to the broader issues. I mean, if you say to people, I'm sorry your hydro is being cut off, but we're having a march against the Tories next week, that seems maybe a little esoteric. But if you can demonstrate that you can make a difference in people's lives, that's enormously important. And I think that's true. For example, in Toronto, we've had pretty good success compared to most organisations in terms of the mobilisation and involvement of homeless people in our work. We by challenging racist immigration decisions and police brutality, been able to make very important inroads in terms of the Somali community, probably one of the most oppressed communities within Toronto. That kind of thing, I think, is the answer. I think it's not just I don't think it's a question of sort of the people sitting around and saying, why are we not more diverse? We're really horrible people. We're obviously doing something wrong. I think it's a question of actually taking up a struggle that can make people feel that there's a reason to be involved. And then questions of inclusiveness and how you proceed and how you organise have to indeed be grappled with. But if you're inviting people to an empty sitting around the table talking about nothing, then why would they want to be involved?
More specifically in terms of homeless people, did you sort of go up and say, hey, I'm John, I'm, you know, we do this, if you need help, you know, come to us? Or did they more come to you? Has your approach been more proactive, or have people come to you more, I guess, is my question. And how are you received then when that happens as well? Do you find there's sort of barriers, I guess, between say people with homes and people without homes or something like this?
Well, I mean, we did it in terms of the homeless community in Toronto. At least, let me say a homeless community. I mean, especially the people initially in the Dundas and Sherburn area, and now Parkdale as well. We've done it through a very long and painstaking process of actually demonstrating that we can make a difference. And I think that's been... there's outreach, yeah, that's true. But we initially started organising events that people were sympathetic to but were not that well attended. We started then taking up people's situations. Our office was open. People came in. We represented people. But what we also do is we now have a situation where if we want to disseminate information, there are homeless people who will take our stuff in batches and give it out in the hostels and on the streets, etc., etc. So, I mean, and we're now, even I find myself rather falsely sort of talking about OCAP and homeless people. I mean, OCAP is in large measure homeless people.
All right, we'll have one last question from the audience, then we'll invite final comments from the speakers.
I just have one comment. Like, do all the labor unions and CPU, have they been educated on, like, the Spanish Revolution? And, like, when the workers just took over the workplace, like, I think we're talking about trying to find who the new government's going to be. And I think historically we've seen, you know, there's been revolutions, but just repeatedly it's the same thing. It reoccurs. We end up regressing and having another revolution. So I'm just wondering if the labor unions are actually educated on movements such as those and the abilities they have to take such action in the workplace, and if they're aware of those. I'm just wondering if that's a viable way to go.
Okay, it's a good question. We've got in Ontario 180,000 members covering, you know, diverse work locations, sectors, healthcare workers, universities, school, municipalities, etc. We've a very good education program through our union development department, which we're very proud of. We would train up our activists. I would say, you know, maybe 10,000 activists a year would go through our courses when you add them all together from right across the province. Some of them will engage in collective bargaining, face-to-face communications. Some of them will engage in the history of the struggle. Others will take courses which they believe to be more practical in nature, which will help them at the bargaining table. But all of them are politicized, like our activists at least, and don't get me wrong here, I'm not trying to suggest that we have 180,000 activists all mobilized and ready to go. But we certainly have a large number of activists who have engaged in political struggles, everything from work stoppages, 2 days of protests, to lobbying politicians. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of political involvement. And we're quite proud of the work that we've been able to do. We can reach our membership when the issue is pressing. If it's a Bill 136, like I talked to a few moments ago, I mean, literally tens and tens of thousands of our members took strike votes and basically said, I'm ready to walk off the job. Whether I've got the right to strike or not, they didn't care. They were just going to walk. So we have the ability to reach them, but I won't kid you and say that we do it on a daily basis. But outside of QP, if you look at steel workers and auto workers and food workers and PSAC, and I mean, they're all engaged in many, many different ways educating their members to the struggle. And you'd be surprised. There's a huge army of activists out there, but you got to find a key to turn them on. And it's not as simple as, you know, Sid Ryan or Buzz Hargrove or any other union leader standing up and saying, we're hitting the bricks tomorrow. It's a lot of hard work. Going workplace to workplace, you know, getting those people educated to the point that you're trying to, you know, the point you're going to bring them to. And if that means a walkout, great, but it won't happen, I want to tell you right now. The walkout won't happen if we set a date and say everybody's going to walk off the job on October 16th or 26th or 27th. It doesn't work that way for labor. It has to be a slow process of building, and it's so significant what I said a few moments ago, half hour ago now. The mobilizing that we're doing with respect to putting together a solidarity network, which is really a collection of flying squads, which will receive some basic training, and the job there is to go back into those workplaces and impart that knowledge back to the activists in the workplaces, and then locals begin to put in place their own flying squads, and which when they begin to spontaneously take on issues in their workplace and move it beyond the workplace to help other strikes and other causes, and then you'll start to get the basis for some form of province-wide action. But you know, I don't want to mislead anybody in this room here tonight to say that there's an army of activists ready to walk off the job in Ontario. That's going to take a lot of work on our behalf. And I think what John is doing is part of that process. What the OFL is doing is part of that process. What PSEC is doing is part of that process. And I sincerely believe if Harris moves this fall with a serious piece of legislation, he may just provide the spark that will then mushroom into a potential, like we had a teacher strike a couple of years ago, 150,000 teachers. That exists, that possibility exists, but I don't want to mislead you into believing that it's inevitable and it's around the corner. To make that happen, it's a lot of hard work.
Final comments?
Just a very quick one, and that was that when Sid was speaking, he, I think exposed the fact that in talking about a retreat, I had I'd misrepresented what I meant by retreat. You see, I think that the lesson and the record of fighting the Harris government has been an ongoing struggle. If I created the impression that there was a long period where people were just basically heading down the road with the Tories after them, running for their lives, I certainly don't think that, and I put it badly. All through the reign of this government, there has been resistance, and some of that resistance has produced results. In OCAP, we can point to some modest victories ourselves, and the stopping of Bill 136. I was at a social services conference a while ago with Sid was there too, and QP members were coming forward, one strike after another, waged against the agenda of this government. Many of them waged successfully. So we're not starting from a base where we're just lying in the gutter, all been beaten to death and we've got nothing left to fight with, and let's get up and try something desperate. We have a record of fighting back, but what has been missing has been a generalised movement that aims to not just take on aspects of the Tory agenda, but actually challenge them in a united front way to stop what they are doing and make their agenda impossible to implement. And that is what, in terms of the October campaign, we're looking to point towards and make a contribution to the building of. And in that sense, there has been a retreat. And in that sense, we need to turn that retreat around and create the kind of momentum where we are adopting methods of struggle that can actually create a situation, not where the Tories are saying, can we get this through or can we get that through, but can we even survive in the face of the resistance that we're facing? And if we can build that kind of a movement, we can talk in terms of this agenda and this government actually being defeated.
I'd like to once more thank our speakers for coming out tonight, and I'd like to thank all of you for attending our public meeting. And we will be continuing some of these discussions. Have we decided where yet?
Yeah. Thank you.
I wanted to thank you. Thank you, and John. John? Yeah. John? Yeah. Yeah, I guess I heard that. Yeah, I guess I heard that.